Some people who have suffered a stroke or brain injury have a condition making it difficult to communicate. The condition is called aphasia. A new group on the University of Arkansas campus is trying to help. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has more.
Aletha Cook, speech-language pathologist and director of clinical services at the Epley Center for Health Professions Speech and Hearing Clinic on the northwest corner of the University of Arkansas campus, shows a video clip of a man diagnosed with aphasia talking about his experience with an iPad.
I got my change for me and change hands for me. It was happy. I would talk with Donna sometimes. We're all with them. Other people are working with them. I'm very happy.
Cook says the man, apparently unaware of his condition, is exhibiting what's called fluent aphasia.
They speak a lot of words in a sentence, but the words are often not meaningfully connected in any way.
Non-fluent aphasia presents as halted speech. The U of A Speech and Hearing Clinic provides audiology, hearing evaluations, hearing aid fittings, as well as speech-language evaluations.
That includes articulation disorders, people who stutter. We deal with adult language disorders such as aphasia. We also do spoken language, written language. We have an auditory verbal therapist, one of two in the state. And so auditory-based intervention for children who have cochlear implants or adults who have cochlear implants.
UA nursing students also train here, Cook says. 85% of patients come from the public. The rest are faculty, staff, and students, and dependents. The UA Speech and Hearing Clinic offers several support groups, one for individuals who stutter, and another, a newly formed group for people with aphasia.
Aphasia is a language disorder that occurs not always post-stroke, but often after a stroke, where the individual has difficulty understanding language or retrieving words. There are lots of different kinds of aphasia, so it's a very complicated disorder, but it basically interferes with someone's ability to understand or to read or to speak.
So signs of aphasia include searching for and not finding your words, saying the wrong words, switching words, for example, instead of saying dishwasher, wash disher, using made-up words, the inability to complete sentences, and stringing nonsensical words together, referred to, again, as fluent aphasia. Individuals may have difficulty comprehending the printed word and screens, counting money, telling time. Because aphasia is pervasive in the population and confounding, Cook decided to start up a support group.
Because there have been a lot of people from the community who've contacted us requesting an aphasia support group, we started trying to compile some resources in the area for them, and there are not enough resources for aphasia. So we decided that it's really our duty to provide that. And the emotional impact that aphasia has on families is just, it can't be ignored. So we just decided we've got to do this.
The support group is for individuals living with aphasia as well as their families and loved ones.
For me, anything that interferes with communication makes an individual kind of a prison of their own body. And that's not acceptable in today's times. We have to be able to, you know, bridge those gaps, allow people to interact with the people they love, with the community that they're a part of. Those are all things that are vital to being human. And aphasia is one of the most destructive types of disorders. And so this support group, it's partly to help them with communication strategies, but it's also to provide the emotional support for the people who love individuals with aphasia and for the people who have aphasia.
The condition is not medically curable, but is treatable by a speech-language pathologist. Depending on the medical condition, individuals can adapt, learning to use hand gestures, writing, pointing to letters and pictures, referred to as augmentative and alternative communication.
The learning of another person's language once it's broken. It depends on what's broken. So if they have a type of aphasia that interferes with saying fluent speech, then you have to work on some techniques to help cue them, or have some memory books, have some communication books with photos to help communicate the message. The common use of a speech-generating device is not very helpful for someone with aphasia because the language is what's disturbed. So the device itself can only help as far as the person can put language into it and then have it speak. So some of the new ways of researching devices that help someone talk with aphasia is to use something called a visual scene display. A visual scene display provides context. So you have a photo on the device, or it can be a picture, it doesn't have to be a photo. And you create hotspots on the image that are touchable. So let's say you have a photo of a birthday party, and you draw a hotspot around one of the people in the photos, and then you program the hotspot to speak the name of that individual. This gives context to the person with aphasia, and that allows them to have more meaningful communication that's not relying on their ability to use language inside in the way that they used to.
The first support group meeting scheduled February 6th was disrupted by an ice storm. It's been rescheduled.
Right now, the plan is to meet the first Tuesday of every month. We have been thinking about a 4:30 meeting, but I think we're planning on going to a morning. So a first Tuesday or Monday of every month, 9 o'clock in the morning probably, so that people who have aphasia are not as tired. If we wait till the afternoon, there's a lot of fatigue that sets in with trying to communicate all day. So we'd like to do an early morning.
And the support group, it's for caregivers and individuals diagnosed with aphasia?
That's correct. And their therapists. Anybody who's touched by aphasia is welcome.
The support group lasts an hour.
Right now, it's going to be a discussion group to talk about some difficulties they're experiencing in their everyday lives. Is there a way we can provide strategies? It'll be very individualized based on the members that are attending, but it is most structured to provide that emotional support through discussion, through camaraderie, in order to provide some healing and some help. It's always easier to deal with the disorder if you know that someone else is also dealing with it.
Cook will facilitate initially.
Our graduate students will be able to plan all of the discussions and research the strategies that they could possibly use, and they'll be leading all of the conversations. So it's an excellent opportunity to work with a population that is often neglected in the community simply because they get through their acute trauma and then they go home. So this population is not always seen by private therapists or in skilled nursing facilities or anything like that. They don't have the time to spend on these individuals. They just can't do it. So the grad students are going to get a chance to work with them to get many hours practicing the techniques that they need, learning exactly what it looks like emotionally for the person that they're dealing with. So we're able to send our grad students into the community with more emotional intelligence about aphasia. So that's exciting.
And the support groups are confidential. Participants who sign up, Cook says, are encouraged to attend the support group to build relationships and skills. More than 2 million Americans have aphasia, and the American Speech Language Hearing Association offers tips for verbal communication with those individuals, including maintaining good eye contact, speaking slowly, in quiet tones, using simple sentences, seeking yes or no responses, and most important, don't finish their sentences. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And we have a link at ozarksatlarge.com to connect you to the support group.